morning. He said, what are you talking about, Dad? I said, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yes. So he says, yeah, so there's no limit to the Holy Spirit then. Yeah. And no, not talking about that one. Not talking about the roof, the ceiling, actually. I'll show you what I'm talking about. There's a little video clip. It's not the 6-minute one. It should be about a minute and 10 seconds. So I thought I'd just show you the kind of ceiling or seal. Oh, by the way, it's not a seal, flappy, you know. It's not that sort either. So anyway, hopefully it will come on. I don't know if the lights could do with getting the picture. So this is an ancient way of closing a letter, isn't it? Or putting a stamp on a letter or a document. Actually, you know, Jesus' tomb, when he'd been crucified, they sealed it with the governor's seal so that it wouldn't be tampered with. So it's that kind of a seal that we're talking about. Okay, so I want to share with you about the fact that the Holy Spirit seals us. I can put the overhead up now, please, if that's all right, in the first one. So here's Ephesians chapter 1, and it says, and you also were included. God's not exclusive, he's inclusive. Included when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until it's time to wrap everything up. So, we believe, then we're marked with a seal, but it's an invisible seal. You walk down Freshney Place, people won't know you're a Christian, but God sees you. The Holy Spirit sees you, angels see you, see that you're marked. If you've believed and the Holy Spirit comes to you, you're marked. You're a marked man, marked woman. It's a deposit of, it's just a beginning. And if we get time, I've got a short video clip at the end showing you what a deposit looks like in the life of a person whose life was transformed just by this down payment, this deposit. The Holy Spirit we receive this side of heaven isn't the full amount. It's like maybe 10%, I don't know, 20%, I don't know. But what a wonderful gift the Holy Spirit is. So I want to just share with you 5 functions of a seal. Those little things that seal a letter, seal a document. There are 5 functions, okay? So the first one is that a seal authenticates. It proves genuine the document or the letter that is being sealed. And Paul writes to Timothy, he says, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are his. The Lord knows those who are his. Now, this is a fair enough sort of question to be asking. And that is my faith the real deal? I believe in Jesus and, you know, I'm a Christian. But have I got the real deal? I think that's a reasonable question to ask. I mean, anybody can get up and just say they're a Christian, can they not? But how do I know? Have I got the real deal? Have I got a faith that works? Have I got a faith that produces an end result that when I finish living in this world, I know where I'm going? Well, there are a few quite frightening verses in the Bible. I don't know if you've noticed them. And I just want to share those with you briefly. And in Matthew 22, it talks about there being a banquet. And the king had invited people to this banquet and people had refused. So he said, well, go out into the highways and the byways and get anybody you can find them. Just bring them in. Good or bad, doesn't matter. Whoever they are. And then it says this, it says, but when the king came to see the guests, he noticed a man there who was not wearing wedding clothes. And he asked, how did you get in here without wedding clothes, friend? And the man was speechless. And then the king told the attendants, tie him hand and foot and throw him outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are invited, but few are chosen. That's frightening to me. I just think, you know, at the one event, could we be there? And if, you know, on that day, would we all be going? Or would we not? So it's an important, I think this is a really important question to ask. Do I have authentic faith? Is my faith, is what I believe in, is it for me? Is it the real deal? Is it genuine? Have I got it or have I not? Because it's so important. Another frightening passage is in Matthew 24, when the Lord returns, and I don't know if you know the doctrine, the Christian belief, that the Lord will return and we'll be caught up to meet him in the air. But it says in there, it says one will be in the field, ploughing or sowing seed or whatever. One will be taken and one person will be left. Another will be grinding corn. One will be taken, one will be left. That's frightening. So is my faith genuine? Is it the real deal? Will it save me? Well, I'm not gonna keep you in suspense any longer, because I'm going on to the next seal, because the purpose of this next seal will tell me, or will help me in a very clear way to identify if my faith is the real deal or not. Because the next function of a seal is, as a seal indicates ownership. It indicates who owns the document, the letter, the cave that's being sealed with the royal seal, whatever, it indicates ownership. Now, 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 20, Paul says this. He says, if you're a Christian, you are not your own. You were bought at a price. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 22 said this, God set his seal of ownership on us. Now, I've got a question. That is, do you find that, do you balk at the idea of being owned? Well, I do. Goodness me, in this world, I don't want to be owned by anybody and all that sort of stuff, obviously. And, you know, we want to be free and all that sort of thing. But I'm talking about God Almighty here. I'm talking about the Lord. And one of the things that the Holy Spirit brings about in our lives when he moves in our lives is that we are glad to give ourselves to him. We happily and voluntarily say, Lord, I'm not going to be the Lord of my life any longer. You're the Lord. In fact, then there is another scripture, 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 3, and it says this, I want to tell you, says Paul, he says, I want you to know this, that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says Jesus be cursed. Fair enough. But by the same token, I also want to say, no one can say Jesus is Lord, boss, except by the Holy Spirit. So how do I know if I've believed truly and if I have received the Holy Spirit? How do I know? I've got a very simple question to ask. Can you say from your heart this morning, where you are now, Jesus Christ is my boss, is my Lord? See, if Jesus is Lord, it's going to affect my attitude to every aspect of my life. No exception. See, it's going to affect my decision making. It's going to affect my ambitions for my life. It's affecting every priority. Well, not every, but pretty, you know, it's not going to affect whether I have broad beans or peas today for my dinner. Let's be honest. But important key priorities and decisions in life, it's going to affect that. Listen to a guy called James. in chapter 4. James says this. Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, make money. You don't even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. And so this is the acid test, really. This seal indicates whether my faith is the real deal, whether my faith will do anything for me in my life, or whether it's just a sham, or whether it's just a word, it's just a title. I call myself a Christian. Yeah, but if you're a Christian, what it means is your life is given to the Lord. It means you can say from your heart, I don't live for myself any longer. I live for the Lord. I put him first in the most important issues of life, and I live for him. And if you can say that from your heart, I want to tell you, you're a Christian. I want to tell you the Holy Spirit is on you, because it's the Holy Spirit that can lead you to say that. No idiot would go along and say, God's my boss. I mean, before I was a Christian, that was stupid. When I became a Christian, he came into my life, poured his love into my heart, changed me from the inside out. I want him. I want the Lord. You are my Lord. You're God. And I want to live my life to please you. Now, do you say that? Or is your Christianity just an outward thing? That if it's convenient, I'll do it. If it's not, I'll probably go to the beach, you know? I'll probably go and do this. I'll just go with my ambitions. If Jesus is Lord, it affects my private and my personal world as well. See, things I do on my own that nobody sees, nobody needs to see. And if Jesus is my Lord, I will check to see that whatever I do is not displeasing to him, but is pleasing to him. As Paul says in one of his letters, he said, whatever we do, we make it our aim. We make it our aim to please him. And so what's the compass in your life? What's the orientation? Is that your position today? Whatever I do, I aim to please the Lord. See, there's no point beating around the bush. There's no point pretending. We've either got the real deal or we haven't. So the first seal is it indicates whether something is, a letter is authentic. Is this really from the king, or is it from some counterfeit? Second indicates ownership. The third meaning of a seal is it indicates approval. In English, don't we talk of a seal of approval? Do you know what? I think, and I know this because I've experienced it for quite a long period of time in my life, one of the biggest needs a human being can have is the need for approval. I'm just saying that's true for me. I don't know if it's true for you. And in fact, you know, sometimes I see when people do things that drastically brings people's disapproval upon them, I think, goodness me, how on earth do you keep doing that? I admire you. And so whether, and I'm not telling you whether I agree or disagree. Some things I disagree with, some things I don't agree with Donald Trump. But one thing I admire about him is I don't know how you can say those things and have so much flack at you and you're still there. I think I'd be desperate for approval, you know. But I was in a job for some time and I just couldn't do the job. And I just was always below the line. And I just felt awful. I so wanted to do well. I so wanted to get this right. But I consistently went below the line. And it was a horrible, horrible time. But you can feel disapproval from brother or sister, mum or dad, husband or wife, from people at work, wherever. You can feel disapproved of. But I want to say the seal, the third meaning of it is that it means approval. What does that mean? It means that if you have believed, if you have received the Holy Spirit, and Jesus has become Lord and he's become real to you, then whether you feel it or not, the most important person in the universe says, I approve of you. You have God's approval over your life, whether you feel it or not. See, think, well, why would God approve of me? Because we tend to, we need to earn approval. I mean, it's true, you get a job. You'll be out on your ears if you don't do your job and they like you. Is that right? You know, well, we'll try you and see if you're all right, but if we don't like you, we'll get rid of you, often. So you've got to win approval. And so we think that's the way with God. But what about Romans 5 and verse 8? Romans 5 and verse 8 explains to us at what point God started the process of approval over your life. When was that? But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So before you did anything good or bad, God saw you. And there was approval over you. Now it goes even further back than that, actually. Ephesians chapter 1, it says this, Paul writes this. He says, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined, that's marked, pre-marked us out. Saw the Holy Spirit coming on us. He predestined us, pre-marked us out for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. See, we feel we've got to, you know, I've done bad things this week, so God's taken his hand off me. The opposite is the case. If you've done bad things this week, God needs to have his hand more tightly on you. God has a much bigger picture than our small way of looking at things has. And he saw you. And Jesus said, I want to die for you before, while you're still a sinner. And he saw us before the creation of the world. And he said, I love you and I want you. This is our God approving from a distance of us. And I think another problem that we have is that we fail to realize how much God values you and me. I read in Matthew's Gospel the parable of the pearl of great price. This is it. And it says, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. When he found one of great value, he went away and And I thought to myself, about working again. Yeah, that's true, because I found the Lord, I found Jesus, and to me, he was like the pearl of great price. But actually, my father-in-law told me something, and I think it's true, that from a point of view of interpreting what the Bible means, it actually fits more if the merchant is God and the pearl is you and me. And actually what happened was God saw us from afar and he saw a pearl of great price. He saw you and he saw me. And he loved us from a distance before we'd even come into being. And he wanted us. Noel Richard writes this in his song. He said about Jesus, you laid aside your majesty, gave up everything for me. Suffered at the hands of those you had created. He gave up everything to win this pearl of great price. Do you realize how valuable you are to God? When you just see yourself as how the world treats people, when you look at how people treat other people in awful, degrading ways, you know God's the opposite to that? You're the apple of his eye. You're the pearl of great price. He gave up everything for you, even though when you were still a sinner. Doesn't that bring peace to you? Does that relax you in your anxiety? That God Almighty laid down his life for you, even when you were yet a sinner, saw you as a pearl of great price? So you may have problems with people approving you, but God approves of you. because he sees you in Christ. And if you're in Christ, he sees his Son, the perfect Son of God, and he approves of you today. So the first purpose of a seal is it shows authenticity. The second is it speaks of who owns the seal, and we're owned by the Lord, if you can accept that. And the third thing is it speaks of his approval of you and his approval of me. I bet there are people in this room today who feel disapproved of. I bet there are, more to the point, I want to say, there are people in this room who feel disapproved of by God. And I just believe that God wants to lift a sense of heaviness, of condemnation, of disapproval over you. See, God doesn't trap us in a box to whack us over the head with a stick. God provides a way out. And in 1 John 1:9 it says, if we confess our sin, admit we've done it wrong. So Lord, hand up, it's me, I'm sorry. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and purify us from all unrighteousness. Walk out from under that cloud of condemnation and judgment on you now. God's not there with a stick. He's holding his hand out to you and saying, come to me. The fourth purpose of a seal is security. A seal indicates if something's been tampered with. Oh, I don't want to mess with that letter. It's got a seal on it. And if I break it, it'll be obvious that I've gone in and had a look or taken something. So it deters theft. There's something on you that says, keep off, devil. And in Psalm 91 and verse 11, it says this, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Isaiah 43, it says, when you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit on you, the seal that's over your life. And you could be facing situations that are causing you right now, as you look at the week ahead, the rest of the day, tomorrow, the week ahead, situations that you're facing that causes you to be seriously tied up with stress and worry. But I just want to bring this to bear this morning. If you're sealed with the Holy Spirit, then there is security in him. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. So just trust in him and rest in him this morning over that issue. Commit it to him and then leave it with him in his hands. The last purpose of a seal is a seal speaks of permanence. We speak, do we not, of someone's fate being sealed? He sealed his fate by his own stupid words, you know. And so it speaks of permanence, the possibility at least of an unchangeable destiny. And the thing is, when God took you on, when he took me on, we make mistakes, yeah? Do we? I do. I'm sorry if you don't. Well, I'm glad for you, but I do. But I am so glad. I am so glad. I'm so glad that actually God is not someone who just takes me on for a short period of time. He doesn't just foster me. He adopts me into his family. He takes me on, warts and all, knowing what I'm like, knowing my weaknesses, knowing the areas where I'm an absolute pain in the neck, and so on. He takes me on permanently, and he's committed to me, but he's also committed to you, to see you through every hurdle, every difficulty that you may be facing now, that you can face in the future. What a wonderful God we have this morning. I would love just to show you an example of someone whose life has been this girl. Had big problems, and so if you get the video ready, if that's all right, and it just lasts for 6 minutes, okay, and then we'll sing a song, and closing prayer. But this girl was in a bit of a mess. And you know what? She met the Lord. And this down payment, this the Holy Spirit came to her. And just see the change that took place. And if there are any people here today who want to receive the Holy Spirit or want to know him, want to know the sealing of the Holy Spirit, then we would love to pray for you at the end. We'll give an opportunity for that, but we won't embarrass anybody. Okay? So let's just watch this for a moment.
I have always walked with my head held high, but there's a very big difference why I walk with my head held high now than when I did 10 years ago. My name's Hannah, and this is my story. I was the sort of person that you'd cross the street to avoid, not because of what I looked like, but because of who I was. And my friends, they weren't my friends through love, but through fear. The hard, cold-hearted person I'd become through drug addictions and alcohol abuse turned me into somebody to be feared. A liar and a thief, only looking out for myself. An angry, confused and insecure person, struggling to find my place in this world. I was a gangster wannabe, trying to make a name for myself in the small town of Hereford, and I needed to feel important and respected, and I wanted to be feared. Did this bring me satisfaction? No. Did this bring me peace? No. I knew so many people, there was never any time to be alone, yet I felt lonely. Ironic, it seems. Have you ever felt lonely? I mean, that loneliness that reaches to the core of your soul and lingers. For little does man perceive what loneliness is and how far it extends. For a crowd is not company and faces are but a gallery of pictures. I had many faces, an array of masks I had collected over the years for each chapter of my life up until then. But a mask merely covers what is hiding underneath the face and doesn't help the mind or the heart of a person. Something happened to me as a young child that tormented my mind, and I tried to block out the pain and the memories through relationships, drugs and alcohol. And it worked for some time, but I don't recall feeling any peace. Do you ever feel discontent in your life? Where you think, is this it to life? I asked myself that question so many times. There must be more. I tried everything, but nothing satisfied, nothing filled that hole, that void that every single person is born with. And then one day, I felt like I'd had enough and didn't want to live in this life anymore. I'd tried everything this world has to offer to bring fulfillment, and yet there was one thing I hadn't done. So I cried out to God and said, God, if you are there, help me. And this changed the entire course of my life forever. Did you know that Jesus said, I come to bring life, and life to its full? I thought a full life was knowing everybody, having everything, partying hard, and just enjoying life. But the full life Jesus is talking about is that fulfillment, is having love, joy, hope, and peace. Have you ever experienced true peace? The Bible describes it as peace that surpasses all understanding. It's indescribable. And that thing I mentioned that happened to me as a child, Jesus has given me peace and has restored that which was once broken. Have you ever lost hope in something? Your children, your relationship, your job, the government? I lost hope. I lost hope in everything, but then I found Jesus, and Jesus gave me hope. He gave me hope, not just for my present, but for my future. He gave me hope and he gave me contentment. I thought I'd been too bad in my life for Jesus to ever love or accept someone like me. But did you know that the Bible says that this is love? Not that we loved God, but that he loves us. And he sent his only son to die for us and to take the punishment that we deserved. Wow. Now that's truly amazing. So this was my story. From a young, messed up girl who was a bully, living life on the outside, yet on the inside was haunted by her own fear and loneliness, declaring never to marry and certainly never to have children, who, when calling on the name of Jesus, was given a second chance, a chance to have peace, a chance to have hope, a chance to feel loved. Today, I walk with my head held high because of Jesus. Because of Jesus, I have two beautiful children whom I adore and a husband who has my heart. I'm no longer lonely because Jesus lives in me. I no longer fear because I know where I'm going. When this life ends, the new life begins.
So I wonder if the music team could just come up and we'll sing a closing song. Just before we sing that, I'm just going to pray and pray for anybody that could be in here this morning who can relate to any of what I've been saying this morning. And you're saying, well, yeah, I just want this. And you know what it is you want. And I'm just going to pray for you. And then we're going to sing a song. So I wonder, could we stand up? Would that be all right? If you're able to, of course. And I'm just going to pray for you. So Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for this girl in this video, Lord, whose life has been transformed by your Spirit in her life, Lord. And thank you for the richness of what you give us in Christ. Thank you for us who believe and we receive, we're marked in you by the promised Holy Spirit. Just the beginning, the down payment of our inheritance. And we thank you so much for that, Lord. But I pray for each one of us in here, Lord. We're all in different places, Lord. We're all at different, face different situations, Lord. We all have different desires, needs, and so on. And I just pray for us this morning, O God. Lord, I just ask that you will meet each one of us by your Spirit. I thank you that God is with us, that you are with us this morning, Lord. And Lord, you are here today. And I just pray that as Phil leads us in a song, Holy Spirit, that you will move upon us. So thank you so much for that, Lord. Amen.